This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Okay, so if your Bibles are open, let's read 1 John 1. I'm going to read from the NIV. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. I'm going to stop there and just explain what's going on here. So 1 John, it's John the Beloved writing this letter. Okay? He walked with Jesus. He was one of the disciples. Okay? He was one of the disciples, and now he's writing this letter to people, and he starts like this, talking about Jesus. Okay, just think about it for a moment. John is talking, he's writing about who Jesus is. He says, that which was from the beginning. When was the beginning? We don't even know. That's how long. That's like God is like from forever. He's just been forever. Okay? And he says, that's what's been from the beginning. Which we have heard. They heard him, right? Which we have seen with our eyes. They walked with Jesus. They've seen him. Which we have looked at and our hands have touched. I always read those scriptures in the Bible, especially John also in Revelation, where Jesus comes and he sees a vision of Jesus and he falls down at his feet. And Jesus, what does he do? He comes and he touches him. Now, if we have a revelation of who Jesus is, right? And we're like, God, Jesus is the King who saved us, who restored us. He doesn't need to come close to us. He doesn't need to come down to earth. He can just destroy earth and start a new one. But he makes himself human as a King of Kings. He makes himself human to come and walk on this earth with us as sinners. And John said, we touched him. It's not like he was holy and no one could come close to him. No, he walked with sinners. He embraced them and he had compassion for the broken. He had compassion for those who was hurting, who was poor, who was blind, who was sick. He wasn't afraid to walk with the people. He wasn't afraid that as a King of Kings to become human and to walk with people. It's not even like he had a home. He said he doesn't have a home in the Word. He has no place to lay his head. If you want to follow him, he said, don't expect to come and live in a palace. Jesus wasn't seen as the King on this earth. How did he come? Not only came and became human, he came and he served the people. Isn't that incredible? Have you ever seen a king working in your garden, helping you? Jesus was there and he served. He came to serve us. This great King. And John is telling us that we have touched Jesus. We have touched Jesus. And as I'm reading that, I'm like, Lord, I want to touch you. I want to touch you. Why? Because I know that I will never, ever, ever, ever be the same again. I will never be the same again if I touch Jesus. We talked about it at our women's meeting the other night. The woman with the flow of blood. She was sick for 12 years. She was shameful. She couldn't come into public. She wasn't seen as a normal person. People despised of her. But she just decided, no matter what people think, no matter what they have told me, no matter that they put me outside of the camp, this man I've heard of, and this man I'm going to touch. this man, I'm going to go with everything and I'm going to push through this crowd no matter what the people say, no matter what they think. Even when I'm unclean and I might make this man unclean, I don't care because I believe that if he's the Messiah, he's going to heal me. I believe if I touch him, I will never, ever, ever be the same again. And she went through that crowd and she touched Jesus. And it says immediately, she was healed. She could feel it in her body. John is saying to us, whom we've touched, we've walked with Jesus. In other words, he's saying, listen to me. I've walked with Jesus. I've not only seen him, I've heard him, and I've touched him. And what does he want us to get? He says, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The word of life. Maybe there's some of us here this morning and you just don't feel like going on. This life is just too hard. There's been so many things coming for you. You've felt like giving up so many times. Doesn't that compare to like a death situation? Like a dark situation? But then John comes and he says, Jesus is the word. He's the only one that can give us life. He brings it. He gives it. Verse 2. The life appeared. Jesus appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Okay, so he just again tells us, I've seen Jesus and now I am proclaiming him to you. Why? Because in him is eternal life. What is eternal life? I know we speak about it quite often, but what is eternal life? Pretty much eternal life, right? So we have a life here on earth. And just to give you an idea, it's pretty short, okay? I don't have a thing here. Let's only use this. So nice if you have something, yeah? Okay, so say this is our life, right? I've done this at Awaken 1 year, I think. Okay, say this is our life. Okay, then Earth, okay, is probably the tip of that point there. My life on Earth, okay? Except that this, what is this? Extension cable, okay, is going to go around the Earth and the universe a few times. It's just continuing. So just imagine that this thing is continuing forever and ever and ever and ever. And your part on Earth is like a tip on this thing here. Okay, so how we're living today, this little part, impacts how we spend the rest of that. And Jesus came so that you don't have to spend the rest of that in darkness, but that you can spend the rest of that with him for eternity. You get a picture of that? Okay, so eternity is not something that's just, I'll figure it out when I get there. No, it's something that we get to get now, the word of life that speaks to us. The word of life that has been given to us. Amen? Amen. Let's go to verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. Profound. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, we're proclaiming to you. He's speaking to people who probably heard of Jesus the first time. Maybe they haven't heard of Jesus. Maybe they've been in the church a while, but they haven't made that decision to follow Christ with everything. And he's speaking to them and he's saying to them, we want you to join us. We want you to join us and have fellowship with us. In other words, we're going to hang together. In other words, what we have, we're going to share with you. You know, we as believers, who say we believe in Christ, we're not a people that if I get a revelation of Christ or if something great's happened in my life, I'm just going to keep it to myself. Okay? I had this amazing moment with Jesus, but it's all for me. Okay? Yes, okay, don't go proclaim it to the world and to every person. The word says don't put your pearls, don't throw it to the swine. Okay? But if God gives you a revelation that changes the things that you see, why keep it for yourself? If other people can also get from that, if other people can also learn from that. Okay? Does it make sense? Okay, we don't all have to start a website or anything like that. But your colleague, if they're in need and you went through the same thing, why don't tell your testimony? Hey, I went through the same thing. But you know what happened to me? Jesus came and he saved my family. It was a messed up situation, the same as yours. But can I tell you what happened? As I seek the Lord, as I prayed, as we started to come together, God saved my family. I can stand in faith with you. I can testify of what Jesus has done. Okay? In other words, us as believers, we're not so people, oh, you just stay there, you know? You know, you came to Christ, but you stay there. I'll have my hooky, and you will have your hooky. Okay? No, we come together. And we share. And you know what? God has blessed us with amazing giftings, right? Some of us have the gift of prophecy. Some of us have the gift of tongues. Some of us have the gift of giving. Okay? And the gift of faith. And why do we fellowship together? Because we need each other. Okay? We need to share our giftings. Why? Because your gifting is not just for yourself. Your gifting is there so that the people can be built up and exhorted, the word says. We need to fellowship together. I give to you what I have. You give to me what you have. And that, oh, that's amazing. That is a family coming together. Paul in the Bible, he talks of the church as the body of Christ, right? Okay? There's a hand and a... Okay, there's everything. Okay, you know the body. Okay? But now, the thing is, many times, and it's actually something that Andrew said in the staff devotional last week, many times what we think, if the body comes together, it's just different body parts that comes together, okay? So if you put a nose here, and a finger, and an eye, and a foot, and an ear, and, you know, you just put them together. They came together, right? Can they function? No. They need to be in the right places to function together. Okay, so we're not just going to come together, we're going to function together. And you know, as you're sitting here, you have a purpose. You have a place, you have a gift, and God has put you here for a reason. You have something precious to give to the people here, but also to the people that don't know God yet. To the lost, to the hurting. You know how much a hug means to someone? I'm looking at Cindy and she doesn't like hugs. But actually she likes it. She just doesn't know it. Okay, but do you know how much a hug means to someone? Okay? So actually, you know, if someone walks into this door and we can say, we can look them in the eye and we can love them, if we can give someone a hug and you're like, that's all I can do today, then that's what you've given. You've given something. You've embraced someone. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
And what's so incredible here, our fellowship is not just with each other. Our fellowship is not just with each other. What does he say? He says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, when we come together, we're not just coming as people. We're coming to fellowship with Jesus, with God, his word. Why? Because he's the head of the body. He's the head of the body. Can my body function without my head? No, I'm not like a chicken. Have you seen a chicken? You cut off the head and still keeps running. No, we cannot function without the head. In other words, for us to come together, Jesus is the head of the body. And when we fellowship together, we also fellowship together with God. I heard the story of a preacher. He had a dream once. And in this dream, he was preaching, and all of a sudden, someone walked into the door, and he's like, you know, when you're a preacher and someone new walks into the door, you're like, who's that person? You try to ignore them, but you actually know there's a new person there, you know, and like that. And he's just thinking after he preached that he must just get to that person, you know, afterwards. And someone gets his attention afterwards, and eventually he didn't get to that person. And there's an elder, and he gets to the elder, and he says, who was that person? Because they really caught my eye and so on. And he looked at him and he says to him, don't you know, it was Jesus. He dreamt that. That Jesus came and he sat among the people. He said his preaching was never the same again. Because he always realized that Jesus is sitting in his church. What is he teaching? What is he preaching to people? Is he acknowledging who Jesus is? When we get together, we don't just come together as people and have a great time. We come together and have a great time, but Jesus is also here. And we're fellowshipping together with him. And what a great honor and privilege that is. I mean, we can just open the Word and we're fellowshipping with Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then I love how he ends off this little piece. And he says, we write this to make our joy complete. We write this to make our joy complete. In other words, we are telling you that we've seen Jesus, we've touched him, we've heard of him. And we're not telling you this just for the sake of telling you this. We're not telling you that we want you to be part of the fellowship of believers, of fellowship with Christ. Just because now it makes our joy complete. It gives us so much joy to know that you will also come and know Jesus and fellowship with us, with Jesus. But then there's a different translation. And the other translations say, we share this so that your joy may be complete. In other words, it's not just for us sharing with people for our joy to be complete, but for their joy to be complete. It's like, yo, when last did you experience joy? When last did you experience that freedom of just jumping and laughing, you know, even if your circumstances didn't allow it or wasn't a circumstances that you should be joyful in. You know what makes our joy complete? It's when we fellowship with Christ. You know what makes our joy complete? It's that we get to share that with others. We get to share that with others. You know, the thing is, people always have a choice, right? God didn't make us robots, okay? I'm not a robot. I don't know about you, okay? I'm not a robot. I have a free will. I can choose if I want to follow Jesus. Okay? So the fact is not like, yes, my joy will be 10 times more if someone says, yes, I want to follow Jesus, if I share the truth with them, right? I mean, I had so many times in my life where I had a privilege to pray with people. Even one time, you know, from Pretoria, now I'm thinking of this, in Hatfield, there was a club there. We went to soul winning. Do you know what soul winning is? We pray, and then we go into clubs and things, and we share the gospel with people. And here in this place, and it's going crazy, you know, and there's this lady, and what they always say to us when we share the gospel, don't fight with people, because people will come with reasoning and all of that kind of stuff. Don't fight with them. Just share Christ, just share, you know, God's love, you know. If you start fighting, then it takes long, and they get hurt or whatever, but now I'm sitting with this lady and she's just fighting with me, you know? And this guy standing here, he's praying, like, going crazy. And I'm sitting with this lady. And later on, we're on our knees. And you know, she's just talking and she's going on. And I'm thinking, why am I still talking to this lady? We're not getting anywhere. And all of a sudden, she went like this. I need Jesus. In the middle of Hatfield, crazy, pumping, whatever is going on there. You know, we can hardly hear each other. We need to shout at each other to hear each other. And this woman says, I need Jesus. And at that moment, you cannot describe the joy that goes on in your heart, because you know someone just made a decision that their lives do not belong to themselves. And that they cannot save themselves, and they need a savior. This weekend, we talked about it. We talked about confessing our sin, right? And sometimes it's really difficult. It's really difficult to confess our sin. I mean, especially those that no one knows of. What's going on in here? Or what's going on in your room when the door is closed? You know, we don't. It's not easy for us to confess that sin. But you know what? The more we start to confess our sin, the more we will realize how much we need a savior. We need a savior. We cannot save ourselves. Why do we need to confess our sins? So that we will be healed, the word says. That is in James 5. Confess your sin to each other so that you will be healed. Healed of what? Thinking that I've got this. Thinking that I'm better than the person next to me. Let me just give you some freedom. Yeah. We all sin. Okay? We all sin. We all do bad sins. Okay? It's not like somebody is better than the other one. I loved what you said this weekend, Nkubile. She's like, oh, you also did it. So I could also share that, you know, that confess that I also did that sin. Okay? If we start to tell people, hey, I might be a Christian, but I'm still a sinner. I still mess up. People won't be like, oh no, those people, I can never come close to them, they're too holy. No, I still mess up. I'm still a sinner, but you know what? I'm saved by grace. A savior came and he set me free. And even though I mess up, he forgives me. And I can always come back to him. You know, my dad is amazing. I've got an amazing dad. But if I keep on doing the same mistake, he's going to be like, really? Really? You know, how many times do I need to tell you not to do that? And God is not like that. He doesn't remember what you've done. You come to him and be like, Lord, I did it again. And he won't even know what you did again. You need to tell him what you did again, because he's forgiven you. We don't get that. When we come to Jesus, he says, he has taken everything upon him so that we don't have to carry it. So let's put our things on Jesus. Let's put our things on Jesus, that he carries those things to us. Our sin, our rejections, our bitterness, whatever it is that we are still clinging to. And Pam saw this beautiful picture this morning while we were praying. She said she saw a person standing, and around them there was like scribblings, black scribblings, like bad stuff, you know. There's so much bad stuff around them. Pam, if I make a mistake, please correct me. But in them, there was this small light. In them, there was this small light. And what I got from the picture is like, this light can conquer all these things around. And you might feel like this small light is too small. But let me tell you, that small light is never too small. Maybe you've tried to hide that light. Maybe you've tried to put it away. Maybe you haven't realized that it's still shining in you. But God is saying today, that light is still shining. And it's enough. It can grow and grow. And that black stuff that is around you, scribbling over your life, or whatever it is, What happens when light comes? Darkness flees. There's always hope. Okay, there's always hope. Are you encouraged by the word this morning?
Yes.
Good, Nola. Let's sum it up quickly. Jesus is life. Okay? And John cannot wait to tell us that Jesus is life. He's life for us today as well. Eternal life. We can come and have fellowship. And we can share this world with the people out there so that they can also have fellowship. Not just with us, but with the Father and with Jesus. And what makes our joy complete? Exactly that. Let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.